WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me today are Mike Brammer and from ND Nation, Mike Coffey. We're going to take about 15 minutes and do an analysis and preview of the Michigan State-Notre Dame game coming up this Saturday. Mike Coffey, welcome back. We haven't seen you in a while.
It's always good to be back.
Give me some initials, since we haven't talked to you in a few weeks. Give me some initial thoughts on a 2-0 quick start by the Irish. 2-0 for the third time in Charlie Weiss's tenure.
That's certain, but I like the fact that they're 2-0. Right now, I think what people are focusing on is I don't think they've ever been 3-0 with Charlie, so this game kind of looms large to establish exactly how much improvement has been made over what was a obviously bleak 2007 season. But I think everyone's hoping that what we've seen the first 2 weeks isn't a mirage and is going to be continued forward against the Spartans up in East Lansing.
Bram, let me throw this out at you, and Mike Coffey jump in. I kind of feel like this is almost a no-lose situation for Notre Dame, with the exception of a blowout loss. Obviously, is never good for anybody. But, you know, Michigan State's, what, an 8.5-point favorite. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if we lose close, or win decisively, all three of those potential outcomes, I think, are really wins for the program at this point. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, obviously, mostly from where we came last year. I mean, it wasn't a possibility in a lot of games, and it just got away from us quickly. Whereas, you know, I think what set the tone in the win against Michigan is obviously we are capable of playing some good football, and we proved it. Granted, there were some turnovers by Michigan, but the fact of the matter is I think we're going to see it this Saturday at Michigan State. I mean, this is going to be a very difficult game, but in a lot of ways – there can only be good that comes out of this. I don't think there's going to be anything bad unless it's an absolute disaster and we get completely blown out. I don't see that.
I think what people are looking for is a continuation of the progress we've seen. We started out the season playing a mediocre at best team at home. We followed it up also at home against a team that a traditional rival, maybe a little down on its luck right now, recruiting-wise, getting used to a new system. Now we go out on the road. We're facing a team that really has all its act together, second year under D'Antonio, has shown that it can be have put together quality performance on offense and on defense. This will be a very good barometer. And I agree that anything other than a blowout loss is probably at worst neutral, at best positive for Notre Dame. But it's more important to me to see the progress continue rather than necessarily get bogged down with Purdue and Stanford coming in.
I agree with you that we need to maintain progress. And even though I'm not trying to lower the bar on expectations for the program, in the big picture, right, we can't be playing for moral victories and things like that. However, 3-9 does have to change a certain amount of expectations for us in terms of what's realistic. And going on the road against a quality football team early in the year, I think, you know, if we were to be competitive but ended up losing a close game, I don't know that I would feel like we took a step backwards. That might indicate, really, progress, provided we are competitive. I think that's what we all want to see.
And I think we hearken back to Lou Holtz's first season, the 5-6 year, where you could tell that this team had talent and they could utilize it. They just needed to learn how to win, especially in a hostile venue like Spartan Stadium is going to be. So this is going to be interesting on many fronts, the game on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it can only bode well for us, but I think that part of the problem is, you know, we started out with Charlie having the two good seasons that we did, two BCS appearances, then all of a sudden everything gets yanked from us and disaster hits, and now we're kind of coming our way back out of this, and there's so much, you know, pent-up demand for us to return to glory in the Notre Dame sense of the word, and that means going back all the way to arguably 93. I mean, really, that's how far back we're going. Clearly, what has to happen is we are on our way starting to head up. They're starting to show some signs of life. And really, it's going to, for us, it's going to bode well as long as the fundamentals and everything of the game are there, that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, we don't turn the ball over like we shouldn't, and some of those things improve. It's all going to bode well for us going the rest of the season.
Right. First time on the road, hostile crowd. The keys really are sort of controlling the emotion of Michigan State and their crowd by limiting negative yardage plays and sacks, not having turnovers, drive-killing penalties or big plays in the special teams. On the road, those things are really so important so that they don't get that emotional wave that we rode against Michigan. And so our ability to do that, I think, will say a lot about the coaching staff's management of our team's emotions. That there's been a lot of talk about that this week. Has Charlie Weiss changed his approach? Is he coaching more emotion out of college kids and adapting to the college game in that way? And I think this a road test is going to be a big indicator of that.
I had said to people before the season that I think a key to how people were viewing how we were going to do this season is how much you trusted that Charlie Weiss and the rest of this coaching staff could properly analyze the mistakes they made last year. And they did make a number of mistakes. And not only correct those mistakes, but also take further steps to show that they're learning how to coach in the college game, Charlie in particular. I found it very telling, the emotion that this team showed from the opening snap. How many times have we seen Notre Dame come out a little flat, a little bit taciturn, not really seeming like they're really into it, and the other team jumps out to an early lead, and they were fighting from behind almost from the get-go. Well, this time they came out fire in their eyes, fire in the belly. They came out and they punched Michigan in the mouth right from the opening kickoff. And I would like to see more of that. It's comforting and really makes me feel better that maybe Charlie Weiss is taking his first steps on that road to being a college coach instead of just a good coach in general.
I saw a couple plays in the Michigan game that really stand out in my mind, both for good and bad, on that emotional barometer. Hughes' first touchdown. My God, did the line come off the ball? And, you know, you used the phrase, we really smacked Michigan in the mouth. And that Hughes' first touchdown run to the left side really demonstrates that. I haven't seen us knock anybody off the line of scrimmage like that in a long time. And we just looked different up front. But on the other hand, and this is why I still think the emotional issue is still a question, on McGuffey's touchdown catch on the screen pass, yes, they caught us in a blitz. But I noticed it the first time I watched it. I went back and watched the tape. There just looked like there was a lot of guys jogging on that play, and it didn't look like there were 11 guys flying to the football. And I didn't understand that. It just looked like the effort wasn't great. And there was one or two other plays on defense where I thought, there's just not great pursuit and defensive effort there. And that makes me worried a little bit. But by and large, I agree with what everybody else is saying, that there was a little more energy and fire in the team the way they came out against Michigan.
Yeah, and I think that it's really evident on the defensive side of the ball, at least where I've seen it. I mean, there's some energy going in. They seem to be feeding off each other, which they didn't do at all last year at all. And, you know, the plays like the return fumble from Brian Smith, I mean, there's hits going on as well. You get a guy like David Bruton that delivers those kind of hits, and everybody feeds off of that. You got a guy that's behind you like that, and you up front know that, all right, I got David Bruton behind me. I mean, that all feeds off each other. The linebackers are playing pretty well right now. I think all that stuff's going to translate into us being more competitive in these games and coming up with turnovers, which is the difference maker.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the matchups. Michigan State is going to run a little bit more traditional offense than we've seen out of Michigan's spread or San Diego State's wide-open offense. So we expect to see a ringer running the ball for Michigan State 25, 35 times maybe. How do the Irish stack up against a power running team, given that one of our concerns was going to be the play of the defensive line in the front seven?
You definitely hit the nail on the head. If there's a weakness on the defense, it's going to be that front four. They're on paper and recruiting star-wise or whatever, the least talented aspect of the defense. But when you're going against a back like Ringer, they're the guys that you're really going to be depending on. If he's routinely getting 3 or 4 yards into the backfield before he's getting hit by a linebacker, he's going to have a big day. And Ringer having a big day is definitely not what Notre Dame wants. Notre Dame is really going to need an outstanding performance by the front seven. And like you were talking about, having quality defensive backs behind them, helping them to play better, I think that's something that's going to work in Notre Dame's favor. Because if we need to put the cornerbacks on an island for a couple of plays to really get the run shut down, they've shown they're capable of taking on that challenge and being up for it.
Bram, who are some, on the defensive matchups, who are some key guys you're looking for to have step up and have big games for us?
Well, you know, you mentioned the defensive line. I thought Justin Brown really showed some athletic strength against Michigan. I'd like to see him pick it up a bit. Even getting in, you mentioned about getting into the backfield. I mean, that's going to be a key. If we don't get any penetration whatsoever and get a couple stops in the backfield, we're going to be in some big, big trouble. But what I do think is going to happen is you're going to see a little bit of that bend but don't break. In between the 30s, Michigan State is going to move the ball. They're going to run on us. They're going to get first downs by running on us. And then as the field tightens up, that's where you're going to see the defensive guru-ness of Tenuta come into play.
Can you say
well,
guru-ness?
I'm going with that because that's what he brings new words out of me. But, you know, I really like us being with our backs against the goal line and then making plays because of the schematic approach that he takes. We're going to find some of that, I think.
That's a great point. Michigan State's going to have their share of yards, and we shouldn't, you know, hit the panic button on that. But absolutely, it becomes easier to blitz when you have less field to defend. And as the field gets shorter, Brammer, I think that's one of the best points you've made.
Come on now.
It's guru-ness. I think the guru-ness was the key to that. But that's an excellent point. Tenuta's advantage might come when we have a shorter field to defend. Here's a key guy, I think, who hasn't had to play much because of the style offense we've seen. Ian Williams, who is arguably the best defensive lineman we have, even though he's a sophomore, hasn't been on the field much because we've been playing against more wide-open teams. Against a running team, I think you're going to see Ian Williams in there. He's going to get a lot of snaps, and he's very productive. Last year, 40-some tackles in limited time as a freshman really made an impact. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Flip it around on the other side now, the Irish offense versus Michigan State defense. Quick thoughts, Mike Coffey, through two games, who's got the edge there?
Well, my thought is we've seen the real Jimmy Clausen the last 2 weeks, I think. I believe someone said this is the first time he's been playing truly healthy since his junior year in high school. He showed some things that we didn't see from Brady Quinn in his 2 years. The ability to hit receivers in stride, yards after the catch is a big stat for me. I mean, it's one thing to have your receiver going on a jump ball with a defensive back. It's much better if you can take advantage of their ability to create separation. And think about the touchdown pass he threw to Golden Tate, touchdown pass we've seen to Michael Floyd. We have receivers now who can get that separation, who can take advantage of mistakes by the cornerbacks. And now we also have a quarterback who can get them the ball and really cause some damage with it. As have these passes that previously were 25, 30 yards, I don't know, 45 and 50 yards. And that's the kind of thing that's going to stretch the defense out, make the linebackers push back a little bit, keep the safeties from coming up and run help. And then you're going to see Robert Hughes come in and just pound the bejesus out of Michigan State's front seven.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a really solid, complete offensive performance this week. We've seen flashes of it, but I just think we're ready to click into that type of offensive execution that we enjoyed the first 2 years Weiss was here. Grimes is questionable as the third receiver, but, you know, if you're going to go with Floyd and Golden Tate, and Duval Kamara and as the third guy, that's three pretty good receivers, three nice targets. And I'm looking forward to seeing Kyle Rudolph get more involved in the offensive mix.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The one thing that we are doing now is we are spreading the field a lot better. Last year, Golden Tate came in the game, and it was almost obvious, all right, this guy's going to go long because that's pretty much the route he ran. But this year, you know, we've got a lot more threats on that side. And really, I think it's going to come down to Clausen doing the things that he's done up to this point, which is avoiding the sacks, and then not turning the ball over. And I know he's got two interceptions in both games, but I'd almost argue that of those four interceptions, two of them at most are his fault, at least in my eyes. But I think he's really been throwing the ball well, and I think that, you know, this is where the confidence builds. He's going to get in a situation. He's been up against Michigan now. Now he's in a really tough environment, but he's got a lot more confidence in his arm. He's got a lot more confidence in the receivers that are running routes for him now. And if we can stay out of that trouble area of turning the ball over deep in our territory, you know, this game will not be lost by our defensive side of the ball. It's going to be us protecting it and maintaining it, and we're going to get our yardage.
I think Clausen's experience last year playing in hostile stadiums like Michigan and Penn State and I can't recall any other real hostile environments that we went to last year, but he's seasoned to a certain extent. Yes, he's a young guy, but he's been in front of noisy, loud crowds before, and I think he's going to handle himself very well. You know, the key, I think the stat that jumps off the page for everybody so far through two games is zero sacks allowed. And the offensive line has done a terrific job, but I think the coaches have also put Clausen and the offense in good situations with, you know, Max protecting, more play action, you know, maybe not throwing on such obvious passing downs where teams could just pin their ears back. We, as Charlie Weiss's teams always do, we continue to show a lot of different screens which slow people down. But maybe we're also a little more balanced. We can keep teams more honest because you got to respect Allen, Aldridge, and Hughes. They're three good running backs.
And especially where you have, as you mentioned, the offensive line just showing so much more cohesion as a unit and so much more ability to get the job done. Max Protect last year meant everybody was staying in, and there was maybe one guy out in the pattern, and it was tough to complete a pass that way, especially with Clausen dinged up. This year, even Max Protect, you've got two or three guys out, two or three very talented receivers testing the opponent's defensive backfield. And just if you watch the San Diego State and even more so the Michigan game, just the guys working together on their blocks, opening the holes, you could tell there's a cohesion and a level of communication and confidence there that wasn't there last year. And as a result, we're seeing – it's amazing what a good line play will do to the perception of the ability of your offense.
I agree with the communication working together as a unit. Last year, there were so many times where somebody came unblocked because maybe, you know, the guard and the tackle on a combination block, one of them is supposed to come off of the linebacker but never does, or comes off too late. Or, you know, those are questions of timing and execution more so than scheme. And this year it just seems they are working better as a unit, and their timing of how they're getting to the next level, to the linebacker level, seems so much better. But a lot's going to be told this Saturday, and I'm looking forward to a good performance by the Irish offense. And I think the question is really, are we going to be able to control the line of scrimmage and limit what Ringer does? We can't get into second and short where they have any play in their playbook, and I think that's one of the real keys. Okay, guys, we will wrap it up there. We'll be back with a recap of Michigan State a couple times next week. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post a comment on the website at domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.